Hello, and thanks again for tuning into my podcast, The Military Illumination. I'm your host, Gary. And today what we're going to be talking about is we're going to be talking about the Ferris Doctrine. Just the introduction to the Ferris Doctrine and, you know, how it impacts people, families, and service members and, you know, people who decide, you know, young men and women who are thinking about joining the military. Military Illumination, what we do is we just basically look at the things that are not being said, sharing some light onto it so that a person can make an informed decision whether or not to join the military. Basically because before you, while you're in the military process, recruiting process, all you're going to hear is the good stuff. But you won't hear the true nature of what you're actually getting into. So Military Illumination, what we do, we just kind of inform you. Share with you based on our experience, based on my experience, what 26 years dealing with this situation and having to seen it firsthand, the devastation of it. So today what we're going to do is I'm just going to talk to you about the Ferris Doctrine, give you a really broad overview. There's a lot of material out there on the web and on the internet that talk about the same thing. One website that I think is very, very good, actually went to it, I stumbled on it during my research, and it was more in-depth than I even knew. It is called SaveOurServiceMembers.org and it's /Ferris Doctrine. Once again, that's SaveOurServiceMembers.org /Ferris Doctrine. That's another thing that we do here is we give you the resources because we don't have time. I don't have time in the time that I allotted to go into detail. There's more than enough information out there. If a person is truly trying to decide whether or not to make the 8-year commitment to the military or to see that what they can do out without it. Honestly, you can do the same thing. Make a long story short, let's get started real fast here. Ferris Doctrine. I want you to brand it in your mind. It's F-E-R-E-S. Doctrine, D-O-C-T-R-I-N-E. Once again, F-E-R-E-S. Doctrine, D-O-C-T-R-I-N-E. And basically what the Ferris Doctrine is, it came out of an incident, a Supreme Court case in 1950. It was Ferris versus United States. Ferris is basically, Lieutenant Rudolph Ferris was a person in the military that was killed incident to a negligence of the military in a barracks fire. Okay. So what you want to understand first of all is that a person joins the military. Incident to that service that they're into, something happened. Okay. What happened with Ferris, with Rudolph, Lieutenant Rudolph Ferris, was that he was killed in a barracks fire that was negligence of the United States Army. Okay. So what that Ferris Doctrine is, I know I'm running around the bush, but what it is basically, it stems out of a Federal Tort Claims Act. Okay, and it states that the government is not liable under Federal Tort Claims Act of injuries to service members, where the injuries arose out of incident to the or course of activity incident to service. Without exception, the relationship of military personnel to the government has been governed exclusively by the federal law. So this is the Federal Tort Claims Act, which is barring a service member and their families for suing the U.S. government for injuries that they sustained in the military, in simple to put. I think one thing, what you want to understand, what we understand here is that Ferris is family, his wife and his kids. His wife was trying to recover monies to help raise her families, for her family. I'm really going to give you a broad overview, kind of bring it back to where it's going to, you can see how it impacts you. And you can also see the true nature of the military. So here we have this widow who was killed, whose husband was killed in an incident in the military. Okay? She has young children. So she's saying, okay, my husband was killed, help me out. Provide us some income so that I can sustain myself for a period of time. And essentially, what happened... So essentially what happened was that she's just trying to survive. Okay? And now, the military admitted that there was negligence. They admitted that they were at fault. They admitted that it was an issue with some type of furnace system. But they refused to make her whole. Now, I want you to think about that now. Think about all the patriotism. Think about all the things you think about the military. Think about everything that they say they're going to do to you, do for you, excuse me. They do things to you, though. But that is the recruiter saying. They're making it sound like it's the best thing since sliced bread, honestly. But for a case to get all the way to the Supreme Court, it has to go through all the lowercase courts first. It has to trickle all the way up there. And during this whole time, Mrs. Ferris is trying to deal with life, probably. Just trying to make ends meet, paying for attorneys. So what happens is that when it gets up to the Supreme Court, the Supreme Court rules against her. Now, the Ferris Doctrine is, it actually includes three different cases, right, that I'm not going to go into maybe at a later time, but they all kind of came together, and it was just titled Ferris Doctrine for whatever reason, probably because it was just, like a better term, they just needed to label it, maybe. I'm not sure. I don't mean to underplay it. But so basically what I'm saying is that there was two other incidents where the military had wronged the person, injured him. The person was injured, and they were trying to recover monies. And I think the other two were medical-type situations. In the case of civilian courts, would have been definitely been ground for malpractice lawsuits, which they could have taken to court and won. But since the people are in the military, they get nothing. Just let that sink in. You're talking about the military, medical. You're talking about how, you know, that situation is. But if they screw it up, you can't sue them. You're just a piece of meat on the slab. Then it kind of goes down to the attorneys. JAG. Oh my goodness. The recorders say, yeah, we got our own legal system. You're under the Uniform Court of Military Justice. Under JAG, no problem. We will look after your rights. Well, as you know already, that's BS. It's BS because all you need to do is look at the U.S. Supreme Court cases that have to do with military legal systems, lawyers, right? And you're going to see the same thing. The Ferris Doctrine will prevent them from bringing lawsuits against the military, against the government. So one thing I want you to understand is this. The Tort Claims Act, which is a law passed by Congress, okay? So therefore you know that they're not on your side. So my dogs here, I'm sorry, my dogs, they keep barking, so. I'm gonna keep going. So we know that the Congress, your senators and representatives that are not on the side of the military or a person in the military, they can basically care less. So I'm looking at when we think about the Ferris Doctrine, what you have to understand is that you have no rights and no one's gonna come save you. But they won't tell you that during the recruiting process. Or if they do say that, they'll downplay it. Or they'll tell you, don't worry about it, right? Or whatever they want to say. But it's there. Recruiters are under the same curse as a recruit, right? It happens to everybody. So, this, I'm going to read it one more time. The 1950 U.S. Supreme Court case, Ferris Doctrines, no, it's Ferris versus United States. They ruled or concluded that government is not liable under Federal Tort Claims Act for injuries to servicemen where the injuries arise out of the cause in the course of activity incident to service. Without exception, the relationship of military personnel to the government has been governed exclusively by federal law. So I'm not an attorney, but what I read and hear is saying is this. The military personnel, whatever happens with them, is exclusively, is being governed by the federal government. The federal law is in control. Therefore, you have no rights. Okay, this trickles down to you just by anything. That's why in the military, sexual assaults are so high. Sexual assaults among high-ranking officers and enlisted people are very high. Suicides, very high. Negligence is very high. Malpractice is very high. Why? Because the lawyers, the attorneys, the judges, the doctors, whatever, they have no fear of being held accountable because they got the protection of the Fairness Doctrine. So, you know, a young lady who gets, sexually assaulted, by someone in the military, especially, it might change if it's a lower enlisted person. It could be sexual assault, it could be harassed, right? First of all, she will definitely be, targeted. That's a given. There will be retribution. That's a given. But in a lot of times where it happens to everybody, it happened in the civilian world, they would have a case for at least damages against their employers, but not the military. Okay, not in the military. I don't care what anybody says. I've seen it firsthand, 1998, right? Firsthand, how a person's legal rights was trampled on. And no one even batted an eye. And the Senator Patty Murray, right? And state, at that time it was Gary Locke. And for the last 10 years, different governors, they can care less. So I've seen firsthand, So as I'm speaking here, I'm sharing this with you, is that the very first thing you need to understand is the Fairness Doctrine and its impact. Once you understand that Fairness Doctrine and its impact, then you can understand everything else that goes after that. You can hold that light up of knowing that knowledge of knowing about the Fairness Doctrine against anything that the recruiter tells you. And you know for a fact there's no guarantee. You know for a fact he doesn't have to tell you the truth. You know for the fact that once you get in, even though the good intention of the recruiter is, the military does not have to abide by it. Okay, I just want to let that sink in. Does it happen to everybody? No. But I do know that over 20, when I talk the Army Appeals Board, appeals, the representative told me they get over 20,000 a year of complaints, but people are trying to get their records cleaned up, straightened up, from things that were not true, things that were a lie, was false. So I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail. I didn't go into a lot of detail about it. I don't need to go into a lot of detail about it. There's enough out there that if a person is they can look it up. The Supreme Court case is starting. It's Ferris versus United States, Ferres versus the United States. Look it up. And like I said before, a really, really, really great source, right? There's a lot of them out there. I will say a really great source for this would be, I'm looking for it right now, Save Our Soldiers. I don't know what to do with it. SaveOurSoldiers.org/Fairness Doctrine. Okay. Yeah, here he goes right here. Okay. That's one thing I definitely will suggest that you go look, that you go Google it. You go look it up. And I also will put it in my transcript as well. Another one would be counterrecruiting.com. That's another really good website. to go to get some more information from. Counter recruitment. Okay, I finally found it. The SaveOurServiceMembers.org/Ferris Doctrine. If you want to know more about the Ferris Doctrine, you can check them out, their website. I will be going into more detail later on about it. But at this point in time, I'm just getting started. And I'm just want to illuminate, just want to shed some light on some very basic stuff. Kind of gives you, just kind of give a person a really good basic overview and understanding of it. And help them understand, you know, that you got to be diligent when you deal with the U.S. government, right? You got to be understanding. You got to do your homework. You have to do your due diligence. A young person coming out of high school, they're bombarded with it. You know, if you know any kids that are just graduating, they're thinking about a military career, and they're thinking about it because they want to pay for college or they want to get training in a certain trade, tell them to think about it. Introduce them to the Ferris Doctrine. Tell them to go visit their local community college, their vocational school, all the schools that are out there. There's a lot of places out there that will do internships, right? A lot of the trades. There's a lot of opportunities out there, right, that you do not have to give up your life for 8 years. Yeah, it's 8 years. That's the first thing they'll tell you is, no, you don't have to go 8 years. You can sign up for 4 years. Well, it's 8 years. Look at the contract. They may let you out at 4 years, but they can also bring you back. They can also keep you if they get into a war. So, you know, another one would be the Ferris Doctrine would be that, you know, if you go to your school or you don't like it, we're going to reassign you to the needs of the military, or needs of the Army, needs of the Navy, needs of the Marines. So you may qualify for a high-tech school that you want to go to, but understand this, a person understands this, is that they're only going to graduate so many out of there. They're going to wash out a percentage of them just to fill the other ranks that they can't fill directly. And there's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing you can do about it. The Ferris Doctrine, you're going to be put into something else that you don't like. The last thing I want to say even about the Ferris Doctrine is that you don't have your own person. You serve at the will of the U.S. government. My suggestion would be, if you're going to join, if you're going to enlist, then be a sailor, be a Marine, be a soldier, be an airman. Go in there because you want to serve. Don't go in there because the benefits aren't real. And that's something else we're going to talk about later on. The benefits are not real, and you may not even get the benefits. Okay, so then we'll be talking about college money. We'll be talking about a lot of other recruiting gadgets they use. But understand this. Whatever they tell you, whatever you hear, whatever you see on TV, whatever they may lead you to believe that they have integrity, don't trust them. The Ferris Doctrine will not hold the military accountable, will not hold officers accountable. And I will also share some of my experiences that I learned through my friend's situation. I was able to reflect on my enlistment, and my eyes were open, right? And had I known what I knew based on my friend's situation and what I looked at hindsight with what I went through, I would never even have joined. It would never have been an option for me. You know, I had a good career. I'm not going to complain. I went in for the military education. The guy said I can get it. He said you can go to school. And the recruiter said I can go to school. After hours, he showed me this picture of these people with this suit on, this shirt on, with this tie on, these big old rooms. Yeah. 4 months later, I found out that what I was going to be doing is tactical, which means that I'm in the field all the time. And it took me about 5 years to take my first class online. My first class. So I wasted 5 years. So that's my story. There's more to it. Just remember this. Military illumination. We're not about telling you don't go into military. We're just here to tell you, illuminate the facts that they're not sharing with you that can derail your plans. Have a great day, and come back for another episode or next episode we will post probably within the next week or so. Have a good day. Bye-bye.